It's now time for Remember When with Uncle John. John Guess, Ouachita County's resident storyteller and local historian. Sit back now and enjoy a walk down memory lane as John recalls the days of yesteryear in his own unique way. You never know, some of it might even be true. So here's Uncle John, along with his trusty sidekick, Kelly Blair.
Back on Remember When with Uncle John. Well, here we are at the start of a brand new week. Got Easter behind us and everything. Got the entire month of March behind us as well, John. But, hey, you know, we're just rolling along like normal.
Absolutely. Already into a new month.
There you go. What do you want to talk about here today?
I'm going to talk about my good friend Larry Foster.
All right.
Larry Foster's name may not ring a lot of resonance with a lot of folks, but Larry's originally from out in Harmony Grove, and decades ago, his dad, his family ran the Radio Shack store when it was downtown.
Hey, there you go.
His dad was an educator, I believe a principal at Harmony Grove School for years, and his mother, Miss Barbara, ran a beauty shop there on the side of Highway 79 North. I knew Larry, you know, as a teenager, you know, all of us running around town, you know, and doing juvenile things. But we started to work together at Lockheed, it's LTV then, in the fall of 1984. And we just clicked, you know. And we kind of became a tandem tag team partner in crime, you know. Larry's just a phenomenally smart person, his whole family. His brother, Carl, a lot of people know Carl. Carl takes care of pool tables and pinball machines and
oh, nice.
And all sorts of electronic games and stuff. Just a whiz at it, you know. Larry, you know, Larry's big into the ham operator radio business, you know.
Oh, there you go. A little amateur radio going on.
But he is a maintenance man at a plant up at Benton now. And Larry's had some health problems. And this can only happen to Larry Foster. I can't tell you the name of it because it's got about 40 different
vowels and syllables. It,
big, long word. But essentially, they had to drill into his brain.
Ow.
And that's
well, now, wait a minute. Some of us, that wouldn't hurt at all.
This came straight from my buddy Larry. They had to drill a 5/8 hole in his brain. Now, he tells the doctor, he says, look, I'm a maintenance guy. I know how big a 5/8 drill bit is.
There you go.
But they had to do it. And it's something to do with his jaw and his neck. I'm not sure the whole deal. Like I said, the word's got about 40 different letters in it. But they did it, and he's doing great. Him and his wife, Delinda, came down last weekend. He finally able to get out of the house and get out and do a few things. And they came down, and I met him, and he was wanting to go to the White House. He wanted one of them, some of them Irish nachos real bad, but they were closed. We ended up going to Wood's place and had a nice lunch. He and I and his wife and his granddaughter. And he's doing great. You know, Larry Foster, there's 1,000 stories I could tell. Most of them, you know, we can't talk about on the radio.
There you go.
But just a great guy. We go back a long way. Just had so many great times. But I got to tell one story. You probably don't remember this. In the summer of 1986, we was all working out at LTV. And the UAW, the union, came in, and there was a big strike out there.
No, I do remember that.
And, you know,
my dad worked as a security guard during
long
the strike.
Long past the days of the unions, you know, strikes were not a big deal anymore.
Right.
But that one, you know, CNN actually came here and covered that.
Oh, wow.
They were out there one day, and they had let them in past the picket line. And there was, you know, cars was having a slow time getting through the gate. So the news crew was there, and when the cars would stop, they would just walk up to the car, and people coming in crossing the picket line and interview them, you know. Larry's one of those kind that's got to have his coffee. The world don't start till he gets his coffee.
There you go.
So they walked up, our good friend Alan Warnix is watching this live. Alan talked about it till the day he died. This little girl from CNN walks up there and sticks the mic in Larry's Camaro. And wants to know his name, and he looked at her with him bloodshot, you know, half-closed eyes. And he said, ma'am, I don't have time to talk to you. I've got a hangover, and I ain't got no coffee. And he just eased on down the line, you know.
Kept right on going.
That's roughly what he said.
Yeah,
I don't think it was quite that
right,
nice.
Right.
Anyway, I love my buddy Larry Foster and his wife, Delinda. So glad he's doing better. Can't kill the boy, you know. Like I said, there's so many stories I could tell, but I'll opt not to, you know.
There you go.
He brought his first Harley Davidson for my brother. You know, and he's just a phenomenal guy. Glad he's doing better, and I know he's listening to us up at Benton right now.
You said today is a pretty big day for one of your friends, though, John.
Yes, Mike. You know, last week, we talked about my buddy Randy. It was his birthday last week. Well,
right.
Today, he and his beautiful wife, Rhoda, have been married 37 years.
Hey, that's a pretty good run right
37
there.
37 years, you know. Happy anniversary.
Absolutely.
To Randy and Rhoda. You know, at the time when they got married, it was a Friday afternoon. And at the time, you know, I wasn't feeling it, you know.
Okay.
She had kind of came along and interrupted our playhouse, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the time, I wasn't old enough or wise enough or smart enough or mature enough to appreciate the fact that somebody needed to come along or we was all headed on a one-way trip to the hubs of Haiti, you know.
Yeah, right.
But they got married on a Friday evening at Red Hill Church, right there where we still go to church. And I was the only friend there. The rest of them was family.
Okay.
I was the only friend there. And, you know, I was having a rough time that summer. Anything that could go wrong there in about a six-month span went wrong.
That's a long stretch.
Oh, it was. Well, actually, it was longer than that, but I just rounded it off.
Gotcha.
It's a true story. I've lied to you before, but I'm not lying to you now.
I understand.
This is how things went, you know. I'm sitting there in the church, and I'm thinking, well, my buddy's getting married, you know, and we're not going to be able to play Cowboys and Indians anymore, you know, and things are bad. And, you know, I was kind of sad. I was happy for them because obviously they were in love, you know, and I was happy for them and everything was good on that end. But I'm thinking, what's old John going to do, you know? Well, at the time, I currently didn't have any driver's license to begin with.
Mm.
But for reasons I won't go into here.
Right.
But I had the beautiful little Chevy Love truck. It was yellow.
All right.
It was the love machine. Everybody around town called it the love machine.
There you go.
Probably because I had a twin bed mattress in the back of it.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it's 3 miles from Red Hill Church to my mama's house. So, you know, we get the wedding over with. We pitch the rice and all that, you know, and the happy couple leaves. So I'm left there with my devices, you know, thinking about what I'm going to do. So I get in the love machine and I head to my mama's, you know. And exactly 1 mile before my mama's house, exactly 1 mile, the little bitty aluminum engine in the Chevy Love decided to come apart.
That was it, huh?
That was it. I have no idea this day why it happened. It didn't start knocking. It didn't make any noise.
Didn't stutter or sputter
or
anything.
It just flew apart.
Wow.
But I was going fast enough, and it was kind of a downhill, and I had just enough to get to the top of the hill to ease down into my mama's yard.
Wow.
It started 1 mile before there, but it didn't end for a little while.
Right.
But, you know, there's two things I remember about April the 6th, 1984. You know, Randy and Rhoda got married.
There you go.
And the love machine laid down on me.
Well, they lasted longer than the love machine.
Yeah, I parked it naturally, and I went to work that fall out at LTV. And took it out to McKelvin's garage, and they put me a brand new aluminum engine in it.
Okay.
And we got the twin bed mattress cleaned up, and we were the love machine once again.
Hey, the love machine rides again.
Absolutely, man.
There you go. What you got for us today, Johnny?
Well, you know, last week we lost another wrestler, if you could call him a wrestler.
Yeah.
Barry Orton, better known as Barry O.
Barry O. I'll be honest, I did not realize Barry O was related to Bob Orton and Randy Orton. Was Randy Orton's uncle, Bob Orton's brother.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea.
The boy didn't want to be a wrestler.
Just flat really didn't want, heart wasn't in it.
He was a musician. He was apparently a pretty good musician, but a better musician than he was a wrestler.
Right.
But he barely missed a recording contract right out of high school when he was 18 years old. And he was kind of despondent about it. So his daddy, being, you know, Bob Orton Sr., who was a promoter and a booker and a pretty snazzy wrestler himself.
Highly successful.
You know, kind of forced him into it.
There you go.
Yeah, him and his brother Bob Jr. trained him. And
well, there's one wrestling clan after another. I mean, kind of like the mob, that was your family business, and it was kind of a secretive business,
yeah.
So you really trusted family members.
But he, you know, he he came along in the business and you know had a pretty good job, but unfortunately, what he'll be remembered for all time is the sexual harassment scandal, in '92 between Vince McMahon and Terry Garvin and Pat Patterson. They had these ring boys, that was filed these charges against them. And then, of course, they had the steroid scandal.
Right.
And he'll always be remembered for being on the Phil Donahue show with superstar Billy Graham and Bruno Sammartino, talking about the steroids and the sexual harassment deal. When he did that, that pretty much blacklisted him,
Yeah, he was done.
He was done. And he hadn't really been anything but a jobber, or enhancement talent up to that point. He was a fairly good wrestler, but he just never did set the world on fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would think coming from that family, he would almost have to be, by birthright, a pretty good technical wrestler. Because Bob Orton could get down and grapple and mat wrestle with the best of them.
Oh, yeah. A phenomenal talent right there. You know,
he'll forever be known as the guy with the cast, the cowboy Bob Orton being Rowdy Roddy Piper's sidekick. But he was one of the best technical wrestlers you could ask for back then.
And, before the Roddy Piper days, he was down in Florida with Dusty Rhodes and Dick Slater and all that bunch, and made a big name for himself, the Mid-Atlantic area, the Florida territory.
Oh, yeah, was Mississippi heavyweight champion over in Mid-South back in the day.
But, he, like all the rest of them, found his way up to Vince's territory in the early to mid-80s, kind of came ensconced up there,
Became a character.
But, Barry O, I can remember him being – in the prelim matches and stuff, wasn't much of a that's why he went by Barry O.
Yes.
He didn't want to be associated with the Orton family.
Or the Orton family didn't want him associated with him.
But, he debuted in 76 and retired for good in 91. After the scandal up there, he went a few places and done a few things, but like I said, never set the world on fire.
Well, did he ever restart his music career?
You can't find out anything. He came out of retirement about 20 years later for one match, like a gimmick battle royal or something, for the one match, and that was it. And you can't find out anything about what he did to make a living, but he passed away last week at the age of 62.
Which is too young.
It's too young, and that's about all that's been said about it.
There you go. Well, hey, part of a big wrestling family, and his nephew, man, he's still carrying on the family name and the tradition in a big, big way.
Yes, he is. He's became very popular and very rich and very famous, and he's good at what he does, but I don't think he's as good as his daddy.
Bob Orton Jr., pretty darn good. First guy that I ever remember doing the superplex.
Absolutely.
One of our brothers in arms is a little down at the moment. We want to send out some thoughts and prayers to him.
Oh, our good friend Clifton Humphreys,
Absolutely.
Got the Flaming Pig Barbecue.
Good barbecue.
Clifton and Angela, Clifton is down, got his rotator cuff tore up. He's had surgery, going to be down a while. And, he's just a great guy.
Absolutely.
That's a great pair of people, They got a great crew works for him.
Yep. Great crew. Now, Apple Butter barbecue sauce is all I'm going to say really about the actual Flaming Pig. If you haven't had a chance to get it, go get it, because it's going to be some of the best barbecue you've ever had. But Clifton had a fall. I don't remember all the details about exactly what happened, but he texted me and said three tendons torn and a rotator cuff that was completely in two. So he's got about 5 months of rehab or so to look forward to after they put him back together just the other day.
I've known Clifton. He was a deputy for Calhoun County for a long time.
Right.
And I believe he's down at Smackover now, police officer down at Smackover. We had a good friend, mutual friend, Roger Adams, that worked with him at the sheriff's office at Hampton that passed away not long ago. And Clifton, Roger had worked at the co-op with me. And, of course, his dad, Bill, retired from Ouachita Electric. But Roger left Ouachita Electric and wanted to be a police officer and went to work at the sheriff's office in Hampton. And he and Clifton worked together. And when he passed away, Clifton kind of stepped up and helped his boys. And Clifton kind of headed up the drive to get him a tombstone that we all contributed to. And he and Angela just they do a lot to help a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
They had a fundraiser here a few weeks ago for the young lady out at Harmony Grove that's got cancer that we're going to give all our money to from Guest Fest this year. He's just a great public servant, somebody that goes beyond a badge, you know. And, you know, he does his in a different way than some folks, you know. But, you know, what they say about food, you know, it's the best way to a person's heart.
No doubt about that. You know, besides Uncle John, Clifton and Angela Humphreys do more community work, charity work around here that I know of, trying to help out people in need than just about anybody I know. Every week, every other week, they're doing something to try to raise money to help somebody out.
And I think, you know, we ought to get together and try to do something to help them, you know. The good folks, like I said, just great folks. What were you talking about, the apples?
Apple butter barbecue sauce.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, man, the smoked bologna and those burnt ends.
You'll hurt somebody over burnt ends.
The smoked bologna, man, just kills me, boy. I just love it, you know.
If they said the winner of the Battle Royal gets the last order of burnt ends, there's going to be a killing going on around it.
Well, you know, like I said, like we both said, Clifton is a great guy. He and Angela both great public servants. They got a great crew that works for him. I don't know how long he'll be down, but we want to wish him a speedy recovery. And, you know, if there's anything we can do, we want everybody to know we're going to help him if we can.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. All he's got to do is let us know, man. We'll be there.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to wrap up Remember When with Uncle John here for today. And don't forget, folks, if you missed one of our episodes somewhere along the line, you can always go check out thewashitapodcast.com. Find Remember When with Uncle John right there in the menu and download us and check us out.
You've been listening to Remember When with Uncle John on Y95. This broadcast can be heard each weekday morning at 6:45 on South Arkansas's favorite station, Y95.